Hello, and I welcome you back to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. We're going to go ahead and get right back into it, but before we do that, I just want to call your attention to our website. It's washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And I'm calling your attention to that website because there you can find out all the information you want about this business, about this ministry. And as you know, if you've been listening, that we bring you these verse-by-verse Bible teachings through the money generated at the car wash. It's a hand car wash, everything done by hand. My wife, Victoria, and I, we own and operate this business, and we do it to bring glory to God through the washing of your car and through the teaching of God's Word in its entirety, which is why we do verse-by-verse Bible teachings. And we put them out on the air on WMCH, Monday through Friday at 8:30 a.m. You can also go to the washandword.com media tab on the website, and you can download and listen to these for free. You can join me at Abundant Life Fellowship on Old Union Road in Church Hill. We're over there located by the community swimming pool. And I am preaching there live Sunday nights at 6 p.m. We're currently going through the book of Matthew, and we do verse-by-verse Bible teaching then as well. So I want to invite you to those places. If you're in the area or you're in the parking lot of the Wash and Word, you tune to 107.1 FM, and there you can listen to these Bible messages being preached on a loop over your radio airwaves, again, at 107.1 FM. I think that pretty much covers all of our Bible teaching outlets, and we're going to get back into the book of Ecclesiastes. We just finished up chapter 11 in our last teaching, and Solomon, over the last few chapters, has been answering the question, how then should we live? And by quick summary, the first one was we should live in peace with authority. And chapter 10 covered that extensively. And then chapter 11, Solomon says that we should also not only live in peace with authority, but we should live by generously giving unto others. And we discussed that in detail as well. Remember, you can go to washandword.com to hear these messages. And he also said we should be living thoughtfully. That is to be reflecting upon God and all that he has done for us. And finally, in answer to the question, how then should we live? He says, however you want, but knowing that there is a judgment to come. And, you know, you think about children and how innocent they are and how much vigor and energy they have and that not a care in the world mentality. They're so full of life and fun and laughing. But then as they begin to age, their brains begin to develop and things begin to start making sense, or maybe getting more confusing, but they still see the future as far away, but even next week seems like an eternity to them. You see, adolescence, there are ramifications for actions, and they begin to get realized, and even plans of the future, they start requiring actual effort to make them happen. And as you begin to age into your early 20s, you know, all of a sudden the innocence begins to fade, and then you have this horrible, terrible, you know, thoughts about how your future is going to be, and then enter adulthood. What Solomon's saying basically is that, you know what, live however you want, but live knowing that there is a judgment to come. And as we close out this section of scripture, I just want to remind you that Christians will not have to face judgment, penalty, or wrath for their sins. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through Jesus Christ." But remember, it also says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." And so that verse is speaking to us as Christians. You know, just because our sins are forgiven and we won't suffer penalty or wrath or judgment because of our sins, there is a judgment that awaits each believer for the works that they have done. And the stuff that is wood, hay, and stubble, the Bible says, will be burned up. And so, to sum up chapter 11, I would say this. The ability to live with Christ-like faith and in an adult body is achieved through obedient living and a healthy, reverent fear of God. And man, if there's something this world needs, the body of Christ needs today, is another healthy dose of the reverent fear of God. Amen. All right, let's move on to chapter 12. And this will be the last chapter in the book of Ecclesiastes, and then we'll move on to another book, and we will cover it the same way we did this one, verse by verse, covering everything in God's Word. But before we get into reading, I want to tell you about a dream of mine. Something I've always wanted to do my whole life since I was a child, and that is to hike the entire Appalachian Trail. That's right, I always wanted to take about 6 months out of my life and just hike the entire trail all in one. And I'm 50 years old, so I'm certainly physically able to do it, but certainly not as able as I was 20 or 30 years ago or when I was a teenager. And 10 years from now, I may not be able to do it at all. The possibility is slipping away from me slowly. My knees are weakening, my lower back is deteriorating, my calf muscles don't hold up like they used to. And so as the time goes on and as my age goes up, the dream is dying and almost all but dead. But don't feel sorry for me. That's not why I'm bringing this up. Hang with me here and we'll get to the point. You see, I'm running out of time to do my lifelong dream of hiking the Appalachian Trail. And if I'm ever going to do this, I had better do it before it is too late. If I'm ever going to do it, I'd better do it before it's too late. Now, of course, with God, all things are possible. But ideally, I should have done this when I was about 18 years old. It would have been the best. It was before I got married, before I had kids, wasn't involved with anything too big in my life. Nothing was holding me down or drowning me or smothering me or sucking the very last drop of everything that used to be my vitality. Are you listening, honey? No, I'm just kidding. But in those hours of youth, yes, and that is what they seem like, just hours. There was so much hope, so much promise, so much time ahead of me. Truman Capote said, "Life is a moderately good play with a badly written third act." So let's look at verse 1 and see what Solomon has to say about age. Verse 1, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of your trouble come and the years approach when you will say, 'I find no pleasure in them.'" I'll stop right there. This is a cold, hard sentence I'm about to say. The elderly do not enjoy life like the youth. Now, hold on. Not that they don't enjoy life, but they enjoy it probably more than youth, because with age comes wisdom. They just don't enjoy it like the youth. And by that, I'm speaking strictly of physicality. Physically speaking, in a physicality type of way, that is the way your body is, elderly people are not enjoying life as much as youth. It's just the way it is. That's what Solomon does here. He begins by pointing out that there is no better time to reflect upon God than in your youth. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, he says. Because an adult life that starts out with a realistic and personal discovery of God, listen, is better equipped for the trouble, I'll put that in air quotes, that lie ahead. In fact, Solomon relates often to the future and its bleakness. And the next few verses cover this, so we'll return to the subject of youth in just a moment. So let's read verses 2 through 8 real quick here. And it says, "Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors of the streets are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when men rise up at the sound of the birds, but all their songs grow faint, when men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desires no longer is stirred, then man goes to his eternal home, mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed, or the gold bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it will come from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Now let's stop right there, because there's a lot to uncover. It's one subject matter, but what I just read, if you were paying attention and listening carefully, didn't it sound pretty dreary? Pretty morbid? I mean, what a downer, Solomon. I mean, your book's about to end. You've got a measly 5 verses left after the ones I just read, and you're going out on a sour note. No wonder he's addressing the youth at the very end of his sermon, or his teaching here. And in verse 2a, he says, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark. What's he saying? He's saying that before things begin to fade in your life, before your eyesight starts going and your hearing starts to deteriorate and your abilities begin to cease and your skin begins to crumble and crack, and of course your memory begins to fade, before all of these things, he says to remember your Creator. You know, they say there's 3 things that mark old age. Memory, and I can't remember what the other 2 were. Getting back to verse 2b, I will never stop my lame jokes, so don't write in or call or anything like that. They're going to keep coming. It's just the way I do it. Verse 2b, and then he says, and the clouds return after the rain. What is he saying here? He's saying that a returning to where one began. He says the clouds, basically saying the clouds come, they fill up with water, they pour their water down, they blow out of the sky. But what's going to happen in a day or 2 or a week later? At some point, those clouds are going to return. And he says the same thing here. He says that you're going back to where you once began. He says, as kids. And what do I mean by that? Well, as kids, life revolves around what? Around eating and sleeping and going to the bathroom. But basically, isn't that what we're all heading towards? Where it revolves around nothing more than just eating and sleeping and going to the bathroom. I'm sure we all have, you know, we all understand that from ash to ash, you know, from where we began, we are going back to. We started off in diapers and we'll probably end in diapers. I know that's again, these are downer scriptures, but Solomon is bringing this all to a close for a reason. He wants us to have a climatic thought process as the word that he put together here begins to wind down. In verse 3a, he says, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. What's he saying here? He's referring to your arms and your legs and your back. He's saying that, you know, keepers and defenders of the house, they're trembling. Why? Because they can't defend their house like they used to. You ever see an old man try to, you know, defend his house? They can't. They're weak and they're feeble, and their arms and their hands and their muscles, they don't work like they used to, and it's no longer the way it used to be. Strong men stoop, he says. You know, how many older people you see hunched over because their backs can no longer support them? And we're going to continue this in our next message because we're just about out of time. But, you know, pay attention to what Solomon's saying here, because he's trying to get our minds to a certain place. And it's a place we all need to be sometimes. And that is a reflection upon the now, that this is life. Today is life. Your age where you are is where you are right now. Make something out of it. And again, as we begin to close, I want to invite you out to Abundant Life Fellowship on Old Union Road in Church Hill, Tennessee. It's over there by the community Church Hill Community Pool. There you can hear me preach verse-by-verse Bible teachings in person at 6 p.m. on Sunday nights. You can also go to the WashAndWord.com website to hear these messages. We invite you to come by the Wash and Word. Let us work to earn the money it takes to keep this ministry alive. And while you're in the parking lot, flip to 107.1 FM to hear these sermons. I don't know if anyone's listening to them or not. It doesn't matter. I have a goal to get all of God's Word into the internet. And I'm not the only one to do it, but it's what God told me to do. And if these messages are blessing people, then I'm I'm great. If they're not, they're blessing me because the Spirit speaks them. And the Spirit speaks into you as well. This is my prayer. Have a blessed day.